I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Lions Watch. It is just 36 days until the European Championships in Germany. I'm Marcus Speller.
And I'm Luke Moore.
Hello, everybody. We're back with our second episode of Lions Watch. Myself and Luke are going to be here every single Thursday between now and the start of the Euros. So hit subscribe to never miss an episode. And if you're on Apple Podcasts and you can see that pause button in the top right-hand corner of your phone, tap it now and turn on your downloads. And if you see the option to turn on automatic downloads, well, treat yourself and hit that as well. That way, the next episode of the Football Ramble is always ready and waiting for you. Saves you a bit of time, and also it really helps us. And I know you want to help us.
It's a win-win.
It's a win-win, Luke Moore. It is a win-win. Talking of the opposite of that kind of thing, a lose-lose is Harry Maguire's injury. It's a big loss to Manchester United. It's a big loss to England.
That's
the big news of the week, of course. Yeah. It looks like he might not even make the FA Cup final, which would be a great shame for old Harry. If he's fit in time for England's first warm-up game against Bosnia-Herzegovina on the 3rd of June, he wouldn't have played any competitive football in over a month. Does this concern you?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's currently listed as being back on the 3rd of June. Mm. That's like the next available game he's likely to play. Yeah, it's a problem because, you know, despite the shortcomings that people perceive him to have and, you know, that I've shared in the past as well, he's important to England. He's reliable for England. He hasn't missed an England game for a very, very long time that I can think of, certainly not through injury. So it's a concern, chiefly because it's not immediately obvious who would come in to replace him. Now, I know that, for example, Mark Gaye has played centre-back when Stones was unavailable, but he's always played alongside Maguire.
Yeah.
And I think it's fair to say it's a completely different dynamic if you swap him out and swap him in. And given that Gaye's also been injured himself as well, it does become a little bit of a problem. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I think you're right. I think Gaye came on as a sub against Manchester United when Palace were already 4-0 up or something
He came on for a sub the week before as well, I think.
Against Fulham?
Maybe not.
No, he's played very little football is the point. For a while now in the Premier League due to that horrible injury he got. Palace, you know, was only a couple of games left of the season. Will he even play in those games is the question. And if he did, would he be up to speed? So suddenly it's looking like pretty thin pickings. This lends much more weight to the opinion that we were giving last week that Eric Dier should be in the squad. And he's said a number of times that Dyer's been Bayern's best defensive player since he's joined there. He does say that. That does show you how chaotic they've been at the back. Yeah. Poor old Eric.
But he's also got an injury, I think, as well at the moment.
Yeah, well, he...
Not a big one, though.
Not a big one. But presuming Dyer is fit and he's fine and gets over this injury pretty quickly, Dyer does know the team. He knows the squad he's played under Southgate a number of times. So I think he would be the safe option. But he's not been in recent squads.
But it's great news for him.
It is great. Yeah.
Without being too unkind, it's unthinkable that if Harry Maguire doesn't make the England squad for the Euros, Dyer isn't picked.
Exactly. So the natural successor to Maguire, or as you say, under Southgate, natural or the preferred one, was Gay. But he's not been playing, as we've just said. You suddenly think, well, blimey. Now, in the past, I would have said, well, Joe Gomez, even though obviously after that little tete-a-tete he had with Raheem Sterling, seemed to be kind of locked out of the England squad for a bit. He's been back in there since, but he's playing as a fullback largely for Liverpool. I think he's still a quality centre half, but Southgate has played him at fullback as well when he had the chance to play at centre half. Lewis Dunk is another one who has played under Southgate, and I think is a squad player at best.
I don't think Lewis Dunk's the answer.
No, and the other one is Ezri Konsa, who has played a bit of late. So I think Southgate, I think he should go. But suddenly, if you thought, right, England's starting centre halves are going to be Stones and Konsa, it would be, well, okay, I don't think that's terrible. I think.
But it's untested.
It's untested, and suddenly you think, yeah, I think I probably would be more comfortable with Dyer. I hope Maguire's there, and I still think Maguire is.
I also think Dyer kind of fits the profile of a Maguire type player more than the others do. And I think Dyer is better with the ball at his feet. Dyer's more comfortable in midfield than Maguire would ever be as well. So I think he's got more to his game than Maguire's got. But I think those other players you're listing with probably even Dunk as well, they're not the same type of defender. And it's important to point out as well that when Mark Gaye has deputised for England at centre-back, it's been with Maguire.
Yeah.
It's not been with Stones.
Yeah.
And Stones offers something very, very different to what Maguire offers.
Yeah, so I
do think the balance is an issue there. So all in all, it's not ideal, is it? Because although it's not the most important player to be injured, he'd probably be quite near the top of the list. If you were doing 26 players...
We're not talking best, we're talking most important.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If you're doing 26 players for a squad, and in order of what you don't want them to get injured...
Your power rankings. Sort of.
Yeah, Maguire would be quite near the top.
I think he would be.
Yeah. Which is mad, given I've slagged him off for the last 2 years.
Yeah, but I mean, that's, you know, that's the way it is. Again, the only other name's Tomori, but Southgate hasn't shown that much... preference.
Well, he had a bit of a stinker when he played, didn't he?
Yeah, but I mean,
he had a bit of a stinker for Milan as well, didn't he? In a game that was against an English team in Europe, and
Chelsea.
That's right.
Go back a little bit there, but fine.
But I mean, that does count for this kind of stuff.
Jared Branthwaite would be another name, but I mean, again, you're talking very untested. So
this is how legends are forged. This is how it happens. Yeah. You know, when Maguire first came into the England team, he came in ahead of what was a tournament, wasn't it? He came in ahead of. Hadn't really done much. Hadn't played an awful lot.
That's true.
His star was on the rise, of course, but. He's never looked back.
Get Branthwaite in there.
Everyone else has looked back, but he hasn't looked back much.
Do I look back? I can't remember. Don't answer that. Okay, well, you know...
That's the big news.
There's concern there. So hopefully Maguire will be fit and flying for the tournament. Now, I think one of the big talking... In fact, I think it's the biggest talking point of this England team is the midfield. It seems to be... a bit of a conundrum, you could say, due to England's lack or certainly perceived lack of midfielders who are comfortable doing some defensive work, or naturally that's where they go. And, you know, Southgate has been criticised and accused of being too conservative generally, but I think specifically that where the midfield is concerned, that's where it comes from. Jude Bellingham is obviously a huge part of this England team and is playing in that advanced role, number 10 role, as many people would call it. He's been playing further up the pitch for Real Madrid. Declan Rice is going to be at the base of that midfield, and that's where he prefers to be. I know at Arsenal he's been used as a more kind of box-to-box player, a number 8, as people sometimes say nowadays. But he himself says he prefers to be at the base, and that's where he plays with England. Now, back in November, we saw Rice and Phillips playing as they did in the Euros in the centre of midfield together. I know that was sometimes a 3-4-3. But it was those two behind Bellingham in the friendly, certainly against Scotland, that's how they lined up as well. Well, Phillips, his form has been terrible, as we know, and it now looks like he's been injured for the rest of the season. So if there was any tiny, teensy flicker of hope, which I don't think there was for Phillips, he's now very much gone. So if we are going to assume that Southgate is going to play with Rice and another at the base of midfield, we saw him against Brazil, he tried Conor Gallagher there, against Belgium, Cobby Mayne, who came into the team. It does seem like that's what it's going to be. Who do you think the best replacement would be in that specific system? It may not be the system that you would like. You'd maybe want to see Foden in there with Bellingham. I know you've said that before. But if we are assuming that he's going to have another holder with Rice in there, who do you think is the best player for that job?
So it's a really difficult question to answer. And I think I will go around the houses trying to answer it, but you have to bear with me. So I would look at the most recently relevant competitive games and for England. And to do that, you do have to go back a bit. Now, you don't have to go back too far for the England game against Italy in qualifying when they beat them 3-1 at Wembley.
That's right.
And then for that game, it was Rice and Phillips. It was when Phillips wasn't quite a busted flush because it was back in October.
But he hadn't moved to West Ham by then.
Yeah.
So he was still...
He was around it. Guardiola wasn't using him. He hadn't done anything wrong.
Yeah.
He just wasn't being picked. And so he played. He got subbed off in that game, though, for people who don't remember. Interestingly enough, Mark Gay came on in that game as
well.
He
did, yeah.
And England obviously won the game. And then if you go back a bit further, England played France. They lost out 2-1 in the World Cup, as we all know. At that point, England was still playing 4-3-3. So they were playing with Bellingham on the left of the three, Rice in the middle. And then
Henderson.
It was Henderson on the right. Right. So to me... Like Declan Rice has evolved quite a lot as a player since then. And he plays really nominally on the left of a three for Arsenal. But as you say,
he's played a six and an eight.
But he does everything.
Yeah.
And he can do everything.
Yeah.
And so why am I saying all this? Well, I sometimes wonder if it's a bit of a red herring when people talk about England at the moment playing two holding midfield players and that being too conservative, because Rice isn't actually that conservative. He can play a role like that, and I think he's one of those players, he's so good, genuinely so good, that if England were playing someone good in the Euros in a knockout game and Southgate said to him, you just need to sit for a bit, he would do it. But he also offers a lot more going forward, and before he signed for Arsenal, a lot of the chat I heard was that he can do an awful lot more than he's doing, and he's got a high ceiling and he's going to improve, which he has done. So that's all the background to what I'm about to say, which is that what that means is, unless England flip their formation, which I don't think they will, they need someone who can perform the role of Calvin Phillips of about 3 years ago.
Yep.
And there's no real obvious candidate to do that. I think my personal view is that Cobby Mayne, who's being promoted very, very quickly, I think it's easy to stand out as a calm head on shoulders at Man United at the moment, as I mentioned on the show yesterday. You guys didn't necessarily agree, but that's fair enough. It's a lot to ask of him, although he has looked pretty good when he's been given his debut for England. I certainly concede that. There's been talk of because we're in the week we're in and they've just beaten Man United 4-0, there's been talk of like Adam Wharton. He's too early. He's playing the Championship 4 months ago. It's a very, very early thing to be talking about.
But that's how good he is, though.
But he is good. We don't know how good he's going to be. We don't know that yet. And I think it's fine to be okay about that. You know, it's fine to just calm down about that. I wonder whether there's a temptation for Southgate to revert to type and be unable to resist to play Henderson in there. And I will be disappointed with that.
Here are some other names who have tried to play in that. I say some other names, one other name.
Okay, good.
Because
Michael Carrick.
Yeah, exactly. Because we have mentioned Cobby Mainoo and briefly mentioned Conor Gallagher. Right?
It's not Gallagher's game, though.
No, exactly. So I think, yeah. And I'm sure he won't mind me quoting him, even though it was a private conversation. But I know Henry Winter is a big fan of Trent Alexander-Arnold playing in that role.
And I Henry Winter's out of a job.
That's not the point I'm making here.
Right.
It's a man who loves his country and has seen him, and God bless him for that, and he's seen him play a lot.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's ridiculous to ask Trent Alexander-Arnold to sit in there. It would mean...
I think you're just too exposed and you limit what Rice can do.
But Rice, I mean, yeah, Rice does like playing that. I know what you mean. You want a Jorginho type in there. Or a Thomas Partey, so Rice can go on. England don't have
This is definitely worth talking about, of course, because this is the biggest problem of many problems that Southgate actually has going into this summer. And I think it's not actually been talked about that much, how many problems he's got to solve around selection. The turnover of form in players for England across this season has actually been quite stark. And it's either, and it's not just form, by the way, it's also injuries. Mm. Now, I suspect that we put to one side the injuries thing because we assume that every big European nation is going to have this problem. And it's a kick on from when the World Cup was during the season in Qatar. And the amount of players we're seeing missing through injury is crazy. Now, we've talked about that till the cows come home. But if you put in the combination of injury issues mm-hmm. and turnover of form at England, I would argue that this is the toughest squad naming he's had to do.
Interesting.
Because look at the squad at the moment in the most recent game, right? Madison's in there. Mm-hmm. He ain't going to go. Madison can't be picked. He's been dreadful since he come back from injuries. He's contributed absolutely nothing for months. Mm. Grealish, nowhere. Phillips, nowhere.
Yeah, I disagree with you on Grealish.
But he is. I mean, relatively speaking, Marcus, from where he was at the last tournament, he's nowhere.
But I take your point that there are question marks.
He's got loads of questions to answer, Southgate.
But I think this one is the most difficult. But when
injured, Chilwell injured. Yeah, there's so many.
You're right to point this out.
Now Maguire.
But England still do have a good squad. And a squad that can challenge for this trophy.
Maybe he pushes Stones in there then.
He's not. I don't think he's going to do that. I think Kobbie Mainoo is an excellent option to have in there. And I think against Belgium. Well, even Brazil when he came on, but I think against Belgium you saw that. And I think with the stability that Rice gives, Mainoo won't believe his luck.
Let me give you another. And that's actually.
Well, he won't believe his luck because he'll think to himself, "Hang on a minute, I've got an actual teammates and a strategy and people who enjoy playing for this
team." This is also how legends are forged. You take chances on young players and they don't look back. That's how it goes. Circumstances. That's what football's all about sometimes.
Indeed, yes.
Let me give you another solution though, very quickly before you move on.
Right.
I was pilloried for this and I understand why.
Yeah, you get pilloried a lot, to be fair.
Yeah, it's all part of being me. Mm. And that's just at home. What about this? What people don't want to do this because they think it shackles him. Mm. But you could move Bellingham back there. And it frees you up to have another option in the forward three or four positions.
You do. I think that the other...
Bellingham can control games at the top level, by the way.
Yeah. I think the other way of playing it is you play Rice in that sort of pivot role and then you have two number eights.
But he's not going to do that, is he?
Well, he did in Qatar, so it's, you know, reasonably...
But the way I see Southgate's kind of evolution... So him and Holland, their evolution of their tactics, mm-hmm. they seem to just go in one direction.
Yes, but that doesn't mean to say that it's a given that they won't. I take the point, which is why when we frame this, I said it's likely. So who do you think is going to slot in there?
Oh, if you play Rice as a lone pivot and play Foden and Bellingham in front of him, I'll be all over that. I just don't think he'll do it.
Well, okay. It is a huge conundrum, as I say, that Southgate needs to answer. I suspect that he will go for Mainoo, and I hope he does, because I think Mainoo's a lovely player who gives England something different, even though the grand total of the minutes that Mainoo's played for England is quite low. You could say the same about Manchester United.
I just think you're going back to the Trent Alexander-Arnold thing. I mean, how many games has he played in the middle of midfield for Liverpool this season?
Well, Alexander-Arnold is a different thing, but I think he could play there though for
England. But here's what I'm trying to get at. We go for all these different options and the listeners can hear us just spitballing all these different options. If we accept that none of them is perfect, mm-hmm. then we have to go for the most likely to give us success.
Which is Mainoo. I think
it's Bellingham.
Well, that's, yeah, okay. So you reshape the midfield, which I don't think is a stupid point. But in terms of those, as you say, those power rankings of England players, the most important player for England at the moment is Declan Rice.
Yeah.
Because if he's injured or something happens to him, who else are you going to put in there? Some would have Harry Kane, understandably, but at least Ivan Toney or Ollie Watkins are forwards, which is why when England have made favourites, I think to myself, I think France have got more balance in there. And I think... You know, you could argue Portugal do. I mean, for crying out loud, you know, if England came up against Spain and we're talking about the midfield, you know, Rodri pulling the strings, you know, I really don't like the sound of that. So anyway, it is something that Southgate and Holland will need to solve and they'll need a plan to come up with. And that, honestly, I think could make or break England's tournament. Now, before we move on to the second half, we did discuss this idea that England are favourites for the Euros. Well, Jose Mourinho has named France, Portugal and England as his three favourites, but he said he can't really look past Portugal. He said England are just missing that little bit, which is kind of what we've been discussing there.
He can't look past Portugal because he's A, Portuguese, and B, wants to manage Portugal at some point.
Well, he nearly managed England at one point.
I heard that back in the day.
Do you not remember this, though?
When Mourinho... I do remember it. It was 2007. Yeah. I do remember it, Marcus, but the reason I dismissed it at the time is because it was the FA just going, well, he's really good. Mm. We'll just link ourselves with him.
Yeah, you can't blame the FA for that, though, can you?
Yeah, they went after Mourinho after being bruised by Steve McLaren's experience. who's the opposite to Steve McLaren?
Yeah.
Oh, this guy actually does speak different languages. But presumably, when it comes to Portugal being favourites, your loyalties are split anyway because of big Palinha.
Joao, yeah.
Doing his thing.
I don't think my loyalties will be split.
But you'd like to see him do well.
I mean, if he said to me, would you like to see us beat England, and then said, I'll slide tackle if you say no, then I might have to kind of whimper out of that one.
Or if he just about does enough at the tournament just to get him over the line to that move to Bayern Munich.
I don't know.
But I mean, I just felt like this is the same way that, you know, Spurs and Newcastle before that back in the day just used to throw their names into the hat to be linked with some player they're never going to get, just to make their fans happy that they're trying.
Yeah, true.
It's exactly like that with England fans.
It is. All right, coming up in the second half, we've got your questions and the take thermometer.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to Lions Watch, everybody. Right, it's now time for the take thermometer.
Yeah, every week on Lions Watch, we sense check the latest big opinions on the patented take thermometer. I say patented. You know, is it because no one else has thought of a brilliant idea, or just because no one thinks it's any good? Fill in the blanks yourself. Leave us out of it. It's our patented take thermometer. It's something a pundit, player, or coach has said regarding the England men's team, spot on or a load of bollocks. Now, I'll remind you of the scale. Lemon and herb for the most tepid take, which Fabio Capello received from us last week, which will go up on his shelf along all his other trophies, I expect. Mild, medium, hot, and flare up the arse. They're all pretty self-explanatory. This week's take, Marcus, I want to get your take on, is the headline is as follows. Michael Owen claims Chelsea star should start for England at Euro 2024 ahead of Arsenal rival. Ooh. Former England striker Michael Owen said last week, I would now start Cole Palmer over Bukayo Saka. I don't think you can ignore Palmer's form and quality any longer. I had him in my squad a few months ago, but now he's one of the best players in the Premier League. I would play him on the right. I'd have Foden and him. One on the right, one central, then have Rice as a lone number six and Bellingham and Foden as eights strokes tens and Cole on the right. But at periods of the game, I'll swap him around. He goes into a lot of fucking detail. Basically, he's boring on again, as is his wont. And when the way he says, I had him in my squad a few months ago, you're not the England manager, Michael.
No.
You probably never will be. Anyway, the salient point is this.
Probably.
Michael wants to start Cole Palmer over Bukayo Saka. Mm-hmm. Over to you.
Lemon and herb.
Straight away.
Yeah.
Because Saka's been brilliant. He's having an amazing season.
Back-to-back England player of the year.
Yeah.
Let's bin him off, shall we?
Play him at Holden midfield. No, you're talking.
Yeah,
there's
go.
A space there for you.
He was played at left wing back not that long ago.
Sven would do it.
Do it for Sven. It's poor. Would you agree?
Well, I think it's a lemon and herb. I think it falls into lemon and herb again for 2 weeks running, chiefly because of the justification he uses.
Yes.
If he had just said, I think Cole Palmer should start for England, and some particularly enterprising journalist said, who are you playing him in front instead of, like you always say to me, I'd say, not my problem. Work it out. You're the manager. It's not as bad a take because Cole Palmer's been brilliant.
Yeah, because some people might say, play him maybe on the left side of the front three and then Foden in the midfield and have a midfield like you would like to see, Luke. And that kind of thing. Okay, you're desperate for this guy to start, basically, but not above Bukayo Saka.
What Michael Owen is doing...
Saka's one of the first names on the start.
Exactly. So what he's doing is he's undermining himself by making a stupid suggestion around two great players.
Yes.
You know, and sometimes, as we know, international football can be littered with players who were brilliant, but just not better than the players ahead of them.
No, exactly.
And at this stage, that's the case. I mean, what he has to do, given Saka's record at England, given the season Arsenal are having and Saka's contribution to it as well, he needs to give Southgate a really big reason to pick him. And he has to be accepting of that.
Yeah.
It's the same way that Andy Cole got 13 caps for England, no more, and scored, one goal or something, maybe a few more. Robbie Fowler hardly played for England. You know, Les Ferdinand hardly played for England. Chris Sutton hardly played for England. For people who are too young to remember this, throughout the 90s...
Matt Letizier hardly played for England.
Not so much. We have to understand that they were brilliant Premier League players, but England had amazing other players as well.
Mm.
And Michael Owen was on the scene then too. Mm. So I think it's... I think Palmer does realistically probably have to go to the tournament.
Because of 26.
But I don't think he starts.
Yeah, okay. I think Palmer is one of those players who will benefit from the extended squad. Although other people would have him in there, even if it was just 23.
But because you have to understand, and I touched on this a second ago, other attacking players who've been a part of it are by no means at all shoo-ins for this squad. And I would say Grealish, Rashford, Gallagher, who else?
Bowen is not a shoo-in. A lot of people, as I say, a lot of people would say, no, he's got to go. Fine, but we're talking about absolute nailed-on shoo-ins, as you say.
Gordon has been in there as well.
Yep. I mean, think about it. Raheem Sterling is nowhere near. People say, well, that's because he's not... Fine, but what he did for England, you know, was undeniable. So, yes.
Big decision to make. I would have Palmer in my 26, and we'll probably do our 26 at some point.
I would have thought so. But, you know, it's ruthless, this. It really is. You've got to whittle it down.
So for 2 weeks in a row, it's a lemon and herb, courtesy of Fabio Capello and Michael Owen.
I wonder if we're going to get a flare up the arse.
At some point we should.
Yeah, not literally. We definitely do that. That's the grand finale of Lions Watch.
But the problem is, I realised this when I thought about
that. Nominate whose arse?
I was thinking, that's definitely mine. I was thinking, are we ever going to get one? And I just thought, so many people who do punditry on football are so fucking thick. I just don't think there's much chance.
Or are we cherry picking them?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe we are.
No, I know what you mean. Right, everybody, it's now time for some listener questions. Remember, you can send us England questions at any time. Email us show@footballramble.com or tweet us on X
at any time. Don't come to my house at 3 in the morning. You said at any time.
Yeah, well, any time. It's open. The channels are open for you, everybody. Luke, you've got the first one.
Have I got the first one? Oh, good. Okay, right. It says to me, you're reading the first one. Oh, no, it's me. Yeah, it's me. Sorry. Sorry, everyone. Tom Clark. Sorry to you, Tom, for the confusion, making it sound like neither of us wanted to read your question. I know it's always nice to have a Marcus in there.
Correct.
But has Rashford done enough to get on the plane?
No, he hasn't.
Right.
I think he could be one of those ones where some people might be quite shocked that he doesn't go, because Southgate shows loyalty to players. Obviously, Rashford has been in all the Southgate squads. Blimey, you know, you'd be hard you'd be hard task to find a squad where he hasn't got in there out with injury. So he's often played, not started that much, although he started the odd game at tournaments for Southgate & Co. against Wales. I think he started in the last World Cup. But I just don't think he has done enough. I don't think it's a question of, but he's not been scoring goals, because he's produced some great moments this season.
He's got 7 Premier League goals this season.
But yeah, he's not been scoring goals, but there's something not right there with Rashford.
Totally.
And I one is often concerned for a fellow human being when you see them like that, but his effort, his energy, his qualities have just not been there in the way that they have done before. It's not like he's been putting in effort and he's been doing his doggies and all that kind of stuff. It's just not quite happening on the pitch. And you think, well, at England, maybe that can unlock. You remember that lovely goal he scored against Italy in the aforementioned qualifier.
Sort of the way Welbeck used to get in.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Yeah. I'm afraid I don't see that. And I think that England can't really afford to bring a player where you think, well, we hope he gets up to speed. We hope he shakes off whatever's going on.
No, I agree. And I think if you look at the plethora of talent that England have at those kind of positions, I mean, I remember not that long ago, we were debating, you and I, about whether Rashford or Foden would play off the left. I mean, look at the season Foden's had. That's just one example.
Well, the more relevant thing is, would he have Foden on the left, or would he be more
bring
inside?
In middle,
I think he will be on the left. And then who's the sub or the backup there? Is it Gordon? Is it Grealish?
It can't be Rashford.
Yeah, exactly. And think of the season Gordon's had, and even Gordon gave a pretty decent account, not spectacular, but a reasonably decent account, I think, in those friendlies.
Oh, I think he's in much better form.
Yeah,
much better form. And I think you look at the stuff that Rashford has done this season. Try and be a bit positive about him. Around the turn of the year, had a decent run of form, scored a few goals.
And he's still got moments in him.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say. But the problem is, that's not really the issue, because everyone knows the quality he's got.
Yeah.
So everyone knows he's a good finisher. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows he can beat a man. He's got great pace. He can strike the ball well. But he's always going to have that.
Yeah.
The problem is the rest of his all-round game is suffering for reasons maybe we don't fully understand. It may just be that because Man United are all over the place, but it may well be he's got some personal things as well. It feels to me, which is a damning indictment that you can say about any top player, it just feels like he needs a move, like a fresh start. Mm-hmm. As a result, I think he's certainly not going to be the first player to have a bad season and miss out on a tournament. But I think that's what's going to happen. And by the way, I don't think he'll be the last to do that either. It's just how it goes.
This from The Real Doug Life says, there's normally one wild card in the squad. Who would you like to see given a chance? And a lot of people have been saying this, particularly since we've got 26 players going to the Euros, as everybody else does.
Yeah.
It'd be seem unfair if we had more than others. So Cole Palmer was a name that a lot of people have been saying. I feel like you could argue that he'd be a wild card because he's had very few minutes.
Played twice for England.
Yeah, very few minutes at international level. So that could be an argument. I don't want to take a potential answer away from you, Luke, but I feel like a lot of people have been saying him, so maybe it's an obvious one.
Yeah, that is an obvious one. I would probably say my particular choice for wild card would be one of two players, and it would be Anthony Gordon, would be one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he counts because he's obviously played a bit.
Okay.
Eberechi Eze?
That was going to be my answer.
He's played twice for England. He played against Scotland back in the start of the season.
Yeah,
he's been good this season.
Yeah.
And we're off the back of them smashing Man United, and he looked very difficult to deal with. I just think he's the kind of player that lends itself to a wildcard selection. He's very tricky. He's very unpredictable. He's very positive. And I think if I was going to pick all those players we've talked about there, Palmer, Gordon and Eze, what I really like to see in players in modern football is just positivity.
Mm.
The players who just go forward and really try and make something happen. You think of players like, I'll tell you a good example, Jeremy Docker is a good example of this.
Oh, yeah.
Chiesa is a really good example of it for Italy, where he's always just trying to do something.
Yeah.
And what I
back in the day, just to add to that, they would just be hanging out on the touchline.
Yeah.
And only really come to life when they receive the ball.
And football's so systemic now.
Totally.
So, and I think that, and that's probably the biggest criticism I've got of Grealish, is that I understand he's playing within a massive system, which is the most successful team we've seen in domestic football.
And he was a starter when they won the treble, so he's obviously adapted to that.
Yeah, but now, I don't know, maybe I'm coloured by it, but I remember when I played when I was younger, I was never a pacey wide player, as you well know. But what the managers, every manager I played with used to say to wide forward players, anyone can come back inside and play at square. It's an easy fucking way out.
So he is predictable, I'll give you that.
And that is what Grealish seems to do all the time.
He recycles the ball a lot, I understand.
Too much.
Point. Yeah, but again, in that
Eze doesn't do that. Eze wants to make things happen.
Look, I agree with you. That was going to be my answer. I think Eze is a hugely exciting player. And he's the type of player, again, if England are down, you think of who you're bringing him on, that is the wild card approach, because he's not played that much for England. He plays for a bottom half of the table Premier League side, even though Palace are finishing strongly, but then, you know, factually not a top half.
They still technically could finish 10th.
It'd be unlikely. But
so you're out of order by you.
It is. Sorry, Palace fans. but again, you think of the dynamism he has, the pace, the excitement, the skill, the ability to shoot from range and score great goals. And also, he is adaptable. He can play in a midfield three, or he can play out wide on one of the wings. I think he should start for England and so on, but the question was about wildcard. Our answer is Eze, I think.
If the squad was named and Eze was in there, I'd have a little smile to myself.
Damn right.
I think, fucking good on you, Gareth.
Yeah. You're listening.
Gareth used to play for Crystal Palace as well, of course, didn't he?
And that's the reason.
Why not?
Yeah. Adam Wharton's in there.
Yeah.
Dean Henderson.
Well, Adam Wharton got called up to the under-21s because Mainoo got promoted to the full squad.
Mm.
You know, so
I just think for Adam Wharton, it's a bit of a shame for him, because we were talking about him now and you still had those friendlies against Brazil and Belgium. If it was a month or two ago, he may well have got a chance there. But I think it's been a goal.
Risk of me sounding a bit too dismissive, either earlier today or on the show yesterday, I personally believe, having watched Adam Wharton play, it's just my opinion, mm-hmm. he will go to the very, very top. I think he's absolutely brilliant at everything. He's absolutely perfect for that role that he plays. I just think that it's about timing. We're in May, right? He's starting to come into the conversation now in May. He's played a load of games in a row for Palace, and they've done well. We've got a new manager. He's had Elise alive. He's made the move in January. I think he'll go to the top. I just think it's one tournament too early for him.
This is how legends are made.
It's how legends are forged. Final question, Marcus. What do you got?
This is from Go Away Tim. Good to hear from him as always. Which English player do you feel should have got many more caps than they did in their time?
Michael Carrick.
I knew you were going to say
Eric. Well, that's the only answer.
Matt Letizia?
No, I don't think that.
But he was a great player.
He was a really, really talented player,
Yeah. Right. Steve Bruce? Could have got one.
Bruce should have got more than zero. He was fucking brilliant. And he was a goal threat. And he was a player for Man United.
Yeah, when they really became...
Well, England didn't play as many games back then, though.
He should have got a
cap. He should have played.
The only other one I was going to say, in the spirit of your kind of Michael Carrick answer, because Carrick still, what did he get, 34 caps, something like that? What it should have been Carrick or one or two others. Because actually England, you know, even if you were to take the sort of the basic... sort of defensive midfielder, you know, Nicky Butt could have played in there. Basically, you needed someone who had a glancing interest, at least in the defensive side of things. So I agree, Carrick probably should have had more. The only one I was going to say who's got 40-odd, I think maybe 42 England caps, is Owen Hargreaves. I think Hargreaves made his debut after he won the Champions League with Bayern. I think he was in a squad before that. He was young. He basically had to win the Champions League to go, look, lads, but I'm all right here.
But he had a non-traditional career. Right around the houses. And then, it's like a truncated England career because of that bit at the start. And at the end, it was just he had terrible injuries.
Injuries were a big cause.
He retired pretty early. He had bad knee injuries, couldn't get past them.
Yeah.
He was a kind of player at that time that England fans and the general public at large didn't really respect. He used to get a lot of shit, you know, for England.
Well, he was a bit of a utility man.
People didn't know what he did.
Well, he played sort of fullback sometimes. And then I think in the Champions League for Manchester United in the final... I think he played right mid, you know, so he was very versatile.
But Marcus, it was insane. People were saying, what does he bring? And he was literally having to say, well, I won the Champions League with Bayern Munich by helping to keep the ball.
Well, indeed. And I think in World Cup 2006, especially that game against Portugal, when we went all the way to penalties, and he was the only one to score his penalty, if my memory serves me correctly. I think people realised the value that he brought. But by 2006, it would only be a couple of years, a few years later, with the injury started to catch up with him and so on. So I suppose with Go Away Tim, if he'd have said, which English player do you feel should have got more caps, then I think Hargreaves should have got more, because even if it was just five more, but I suppose many more caps is the question. So I would...
Bruce, Carrick, Hargreaves.
There you go.
You know, David Nugent.
Nicky Butt.
Nicky Butt's pretty a bit underrated.
On behalf of Fulham fans, Bobby Zamora.
The only person I've interviewed in football who I didn't like.
Me.
Players.
Oh.
Zamora.
Yeah. Why was that?
Just very, very grumpy and rude.
Yeah, he gave quite an interview, an interesting and charismatic, dare I say, interview with the Fulham podcast recently. So
they're probably better interviewers than me.
Sometimes it is down to the interview.
It can be. It's a bad workman blames his tools, and Bobby Zamora certainly was a tool.
He'd have gone to World Cup 2010 if it wasn't for injury.
Why are we talking about this?
And we could have won the World Cup with Bobby Zamora up front. Is a thought we'll leave you
when
with.
When the ball hits the goal, it's not Beckham or Cole, it's Zamora.
Come on. Thanks for listening to Lions Watch on the Football Ramble, of course, part of the Acast Creator Network. We're back tomorrow with a preview show. Do follow us on X, TikTok, Instagram and YouTube at Football Ramble. And don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app. See you very, very soon.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app.
And hit subscribe.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.